on our website.
Hello and welcome again to Vineyard Church North Phoenix. We are so glad that you're here. Whether you're joining us here in person, whether you're joining us online, we are honored that you chose to make this part of your weekend. If you do happen to be a guest with us, my name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're honored that you're here. We do hope that you enjoy the service, but our highest hope is always that you would actually experience God's presence through our gathering together today. You know, as you saw in the highlights, we are in the middle of our food drive, trying to restock and replenish our food and clothing bank. And, you know, that's just part of what it takes to keep our food and clothing bank running 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so I want to say thank you to those of you who give regularly to God through Vineyard Church North Phoenix. Because you give, we are able to bless about 200 families every week with groceries and with clothes as they need them, as well as our numerous big giveaway events throughout the year. So thank you for doing that. I pray that God blesses you as you give. We would definitely not be the church that we are without you. Thank you for your faithfulness in that. Will you join me now as we pray for our giving whenever we do that, and that God would speak to us today through the teaching. Father God, we love you and we worship you. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you are up to. And God, as we, I pray that you would, as we give, whenever we do that, that you would continue to use what we give to transform lives here in our community and all around the world. And God, as we continue in worship today through the study of your word, I ask that you would speak to each of us. God, I pray you would give me the gift of teaching. God, equip me for whatever it is that you want for everyone gathered together to hear from you today. God, we bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Who likes fruit? Anyone? Anybody? Okay. Oh, good. All right. Excellent. So real quick, I want you to shout out the name of your favorite fruit. So if you're in the room, shout it out loud. Online, I want you to type it in the chat. So think about it. I'm going to count to three. Hang on. Overachievers here. Hold on. I'll count to three. So get it in your mind. Think of your favorite fruit. Okay, ready? Online, ready? One, two, three. It was like Grenappleberry. I don't know. I don't think I've had that one, but that sounds great. Okay, so most of us, I think, like fruit. Does anybody like bad fruit? No. Okay, that's a solid zero, looks like. You know what I'm talking about. Like when you've got a banana and, you know, it crosses over from that perfect spot that's like kind of green, just getting yellow, but it like gets a little too yellow, and then like it starts to get those spots, and you think, oh no, it's probably still okay, and you grab it, and you go to peel it, and it just sort of bends backwards and oozes banana stuff all over. You know what I'm talking about, right? Or you know that nectarine that you bought and you knew you need to let it sit out on the counter just for a few days to get just right. But apparently you went one day too long and you go to reach for that nectarine and your thumb just kind of goes through the skin, right? You know what I'm talking about. It's just nasty, right? So we don't like bad fruit. We like good fruit. Check it out. I'm going to tie this into the Bible. We're going to talk about good fruit together today. We are going to be studying from the book of Galatians. We're basically going to be looking at the whole of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians today. So if you've got your Bible with you, you've got an app, go ahead and open that up to Galatians chapter 5. And before we get into that, I want to give you some of the history, some of the situation in the world at the time that this was written, so that we can frame the book within the right context of what was happening at the time it was written, so that in turn, we can frame the truth of this scripture for us in our lives today, okay? So dial in for a minute, because this is going to be very helpful, and I promise I won't nerd out on you too much, just enough nerdery to be helpful understanding this passage in the book of Galatians, okay? So the full name of this book is the Epistle or the Letter to the Galatians. The book of Galatians is a letter or an epistle, that's a teaching letter, that was written by the Apostle Paul to several churches in the region of Galatia, which it would be located now in modern day Turkey. Paul wrote this letter to address a very specific issue that had been begun to pop up within the larger Christian community all over, but particularly in Galatia. Now, this is really early in church history, within the first generation. So the main church leaders at this point are the 12, Jesus' apostles. Scholars and historians date this book to anywhere between 15 to 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. All but two of the original 12 disciples are most likely still living at this point in time. Now, when Christianity started, when the church started, the church, when I say the church, I mean the big C church, that's all the people who follow Jesus, okay? So when the church first really started getting going, it kind of exploded. See, less than 2 months after Jesus' death, resurrection, and then subsequent ascension into heaven, the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. And on this day that the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches a message to a whole gathering of people in Jerusalem during a festival in Jerusalem. And at the end of the sermon, in Acts 2:41, it says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all." So all of a sudden, the church just explodes and grows instantly by 3,000 people. So the church just immediately is multiple times bigger than it had been previously. Now, the vast majority of these first followers of Jesus, from the 12 to the 70 to this 3,000 added in Acts 2, the vast majority of them are Jewish. They believed in and worshiped God. They followed the laws and the traditions of what we now call the Old Testament, and they had been eagerly awaiting God's long-promised Messiah. As a people, they'd been eagerly awaiting for hundreds and hundreds of years God's long-promised Messiah. That's his specifically appointed king and deliverer of his people, who they now believed and understood to be Jesus. Now, most of these 3,000 were from other places. They weren't Jerusalem locals. They had come to Jerusalem for this festival, the festival of Pentecost. Pentecost comes from the Greek word pentekoste, which means 50th, or in Hebrew it's called Shavuot, which means weeks, because it takes place, Pentecost takes place 50 days or 7 weeks after a specific offering that's made during the festival of Passover. And it marks the beginning of the wheat harvest. Now remember, when Jesus was crucified, it was right after celebrating Passover with his disciples, okay? So he was crucified right after Passover, resurrected from the dead on the third day, and then he appeared to and taught and instructed his disciples for a period of about 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven, and about 10 days after that, the disciples gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, received the Holy Spirit for the first time. So that's the 50 days after Passover, okay? So after this festival of Pentecost, these 3,000 non-Jerusalem locals, non-local Jews in Jerusalem, would return home. So as these Pentecost Christians began to return home, and as the disciples began to spread out more and more and tell more and more people about Jesus, more and more people began to believe in and follow Jesus. And more of them were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. That's what we call somebody who's not Jewish. They were Gentiles. This growing number of Gentiles who became Christians, well, they didn't have the traditions of the Old Testament law. They didn't know about Moses. They didn't know about Abraham. They didn't know about the old covenant that God had set up with his chosen people. They just knew Jesus. Well, a lot of the Jewish Christians said that they needed to know about these things. They needed to know about and obey all of the law and follow all of the traditions of the old covenant God had made with his people, because to them it was really, really important that the way the story of the Messiah began was with this old covenant, with the promises of God in the law, with the stories and the writings of God's prophets. And they thought that without that foundation, that you couldn't really be a complete follower of Jesus. Now, in particular, they felt that one of the most important outward aspects of being identified as one of God's people was the practice of circumcision. Do you know what circumcision is? It's circum meaning circular, scission from cut. It's a circular cut on a specific part of the body. I think we've got some pictures. I'm kidding. So, sorry if I scared you in the back. They didn't know I was going to do that. Can you imagine that conversation? So you've just shared with somebody that you know about Jesus and how great, how wonderful his plan can be for your life. You know, and thank you so much for telling me about Jesus. I'm so glad to have him in my life. I can't wait to celebrate this day by being water baptized. And then you have to continue the conversation. Well, yeah, so baptism's great. There's something else that's really important we should really talk about. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? So Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians to help them re-examine the Old Testament law through the lens of Jesus, to show that non-Jewish believers did not need to first follow the Old Testament law in order to be Christians. Now remember, one of the Old Testament laws was not being able to eat pork. Did anybody enjoy some bacon this week sometime? Thank you, Jesus. So what's the big deal? I mean, why does this matter? Why is this a big deal for us? I mean, when you read this letter, Paul gets pretty heated sometimes. He uses some pretty strong language. Well, the big deal is Jesus has set me free. Jesus has set me free. Paul writes, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." Christ has set us free. And Paul is saying, don't trade the freedom that Christ has given you for another form of slavery. See, Jesus freed us from sin and from the penalty of our sin. Don't trade your freedom for another form of slavery. You can be a slave to sin. You can be a slave to the law. Jesus invites us to neither one of those. Slavery to sin and slavery to the law are actually both very me-focused. God's grace is Jesus-focused. Look at verse 2. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. We can't do it. If we are relying on a permanent mark on the outside of our bodies to make us right with God, which is part of God's covenant law, well, then we need to be prepared to obey every single aspect of God's law. It's all or nothing. And it can't be done. That puts the focus on me and my actions. That puts the focus on you and your actions. What I do, what I don't do, what you don't do. The problem is I become me-focused. See, slavery to sin means I do whatever I want, whenever I want, and I don't worry about the consequences or impact on others. I just live my life my way, however I want to. That's me focused. Well, Jesus invites us away from that. But slavery to the law is also me focused. Let's skip forward a few thousand years. Now, most of us don't have trouble getting hung up on the Old Testament Mosaic Law. At least, I don't think that we do. Maybe a few parts here and there. But that's not generally what we 21st century Western American Christians get caught up on. But we do get caught up on laws. We get caught up on rules. And we get caught up on rules and laws that have nothing to do with Jesus. Well, Christians don't do that. Well, Christians don't say that. Christians don't watch that. Christians don't go there. Christians don't vote like that. But depending on who you're talking to, in what part of the U.S. or in what part of the world, whatever this or that or there is completely different for whatever this or that or there is for another Christian somewhere else, some other time. And most of the time, you could make a case for both. But that's me focused. I become dependent on only myself to achieve righteousness. And becoming dependent on and focused on myself and my actions, my decisions, the things that I do, the things that I don't do, I lose sight of Jesus. As Paul says, I am cut off from Christ. And I miss out on God's grace. Don't do this. Don't get cut off from Christ. The problem is being me focused. The solution is becoming Jesus focused. Jesus focused. Look at verse 5. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You could say, when we place our faith in Jesus, there is no benefit in going here or not going there. There is no benefit in drinking this or not drinking that. There is no benefit in voting for this or not voting for that, etc., etc., etc. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Our faith in Jesus expressed in love. And then we move from being me focused to being Jesus focused. Being Jesus focused means not focusing on the things that we think and that we say and that we do. It means allowing Jesus to transform us by the power of his Holy Spirit in us. But it also doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what we think or say or do. Because when Jesus transforms us through the power of the Holy Spirit begins to change the way that we think. And he begins to change the way that we feel. And he begins to change the way that we act. See, we are not freed from the slavery of sin, from the slavery of doing whatever we want in order to just do whatever we want. Look at verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. You could say you are not under obligation to say and to do the things that you think or that others think that you should say and do. But we are not also free to do whatever we want to do. We must be led by the Spirit in us. When we live, as Paul says, by letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives, well, then we can't help but to be Jesus focused. Then we can't help but to find our lives more and more transformed by the Holy Spirit. Then we can't help but to find our thoughts And our feelings and our actions more and more changed. As Paul says, then we won't be doing what our sinful nature craves. Paul says that the Spirit gives us desires. And that these desires are the opposite of the sinful nature. So how do I know? How do we know if we are becoming more Jesus-focused and less me-focused? How do I know if I'm being transformed to be more like Jesus? Let me ask you another question. How do we recognize, how do we identify a fruit tree? When you look at a fruit tree, what's the easiest way to identify what kind of tree it is? By the fruit. If you see apples, what kind of tree is it? Somebody said orange tree. I'm gonna try this again. If you see apples, what kind of tree is it? It's an apple tree. It's not a grenappleberry. If you see oranges, what kind of tree is it? It's an orange tree. Come on now. Somebody's messing with me. You can identify the tree by the fruit it produces. The same is true with us. You can identify the person by the fruit that they produce. A life that is being transformed by the Spirit will produce fruit that is of the Spirit. Did you hear me? A life that is being transformed by Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit in them, will produce fruit that is of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. If my life is being transformed by Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is in me and changing my desires, if my life is becoming decreasingly me-focused and increasingly Jesus-focused, there will be evidence. If your life is being transformed by Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, it should be obvious. We can identify the tree. We can recognize the tree by the fruit that it produces. Paul says this is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So ask yourself, what kind of fruit is obvious in my life? What fruit is obvious in your life? If I were to look at your life, what fruit would be the most visible? If you were a tree and we had to identify what kind of tree you were, what would we say? Are you a love tree? Are you a joy tree? Are you a peace tree? Because the flip side is the fruit of our sinful nature. Paul writes in verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because listen, my life is going to produce the fruit of the tree that I water. I'm going to say that again. It's not on your outline, but maybe write this down. My life is going to produce the fruit of the tree that I water. If I want my plants and trees to grow and to produce fruit, I have to care for them. I have to make sure they get enough water, especially in the seasons when they need it the most. I have to make sure the right nutrients are in the soil where they grow. If the soil is low in nitrogen, I need to find a way to supplement nitrogen. If the soil is too acidic or alkaline, I need to find a way to balance it. And sometimes, if the soil becomes toxic, I have to completely change it. This is true for our lives too. If I feed and water the desires of my sinful nature, that's the fruit that my life will produce. If that's what you feed and water, that is the fruit that you will get. If I decide to live out my sexual life however I please, I'm watering the tree of sexual immorality. If I entertain rather than redirect impure thoughts, I'm watering the tree of impurity. If I keep entertaining my eyes with those images on the screen, I'm watering the tree of lustful pleasures. If I pursue money and success above all else, I'm watering the tree of idolatry. If I play around with astrology and tarot cards and psychics because it's harmless fun, I'm watering the tree of sorcery. If hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Where is the grass greener? The grass is greener where it's watered. The fruit grows where the trees are nurtured and fed. The Holy Spirit produces good fruit in our lives when we become increasingly Jesus-focused. Do you want to produce the fruit of love? Love more. Choose to love what you might find unlovely. Do you want to produce the fruit of joy? Choose to be joyful. Happiness comes from circumstances. Joy can be a choice. If you find reasons to choose joy, you will find more joy in your life. Do you want to produce the fruit of peace? Be a peacemaker. Practice these things. Pray for these things. Ask God to increase these things in your life. But I warn you, if you ask God to increase these things in your life, the way that He is going to do that is by giving you opportunities to practice them. If you ask God for patience, He probably won't wait 24 hours to give you an opportunity to practice patience. I guarantee you, if you pray for patience, and you have to go anywhere that requires you to cross train tracks, you are about to see the longest train you have ever seen in your entire life. And not just that, because it's going to be going smoothly and speedily, and then it's going to slow down and stop with a jerk and start to go back the other direction. And just before it would be clear from the tracks for you to be able to cross, it's gonna slow down and stop with a jerk. Because it's a jerk driving it, trust me. And it's gonna slowly start to go back the other direction again while it changes tracks. Did I give you an opportunity to practice patience just now? That was just the warm-up. And listen, you can say, Pastor Keith, this sinful nature stuff in my life, it's deep. It runs deep. I can't just stop. You're right. You are absolutely right. You can't just stop. Paul doesn't tell you to just stop. Paul tells you that the Holy Spirit produces other fruit in our lives because Jesus can transform your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep reading. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Do you belong to Christ Jesus? Well, I believe in Jesus. That's not what I asked. I asked, do you belong to Jesus? You need to be able to answer this question. Do I belong to Jesus? Do you wake up every day and say, Jesus, I am yours? Have you nailed your passions and your desires to his cross? Have you nailed the passions and desires of the sinful nature to the cross? Have you nailed the things that you think make you you to the cross to find out what he says make you you? If you haven't done that, you can do that today. But I think all of us need to increase the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And listen, we all need more of all of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, but I want to give you a specific activity to do. I want each of you to choose one of the things that Paul lists in the fruit of the Spirit. Choose one of those things that you need more of in your life right now. And maybe as soon as I said it, maybe you knew right away, oh, I need more love, I need more self-control, I need more patience. But maybe you don't. So I challenge you to give this some thought. Choose one that you know you need more of in your life and write it down. The fruit of the Spirit I need more of is, and then you fill in the blank. And after you write it down, you need to come up with a plan. How are you going to water the tree of this fruit? How are you going to cultivate that fruit in your life? Well, first you're going to ask God to increase that fruit in your life. Every day for the next week, spend some time talking to God in prayer and ask him to grow, to cultivate this fruit in your life, but don't stop there. Walk it out too. If you're asking God to grow love in your life, choose to love the unlovely. If you are asking God to bring more peace into your life, look for opportunities to be a peacemaker. If you're asking for more kindness, start by showing kindness every chance you get. If you're asking for patience, pray for a train. Write down your own action steps that you are going to use to partner with God to increase the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I will grow this fruit in my life by prayer and what else? Now let's go back to that bit about belonging to Jesus. Because I believe some of you here today, some of you joining us online, I believe that touched a nerve. Some of you, you know that you've never belonged to Jesus, but you want to. And it's okay if you're not exactly sure how to do that or what all that means. It's a process that continues for the rest of our lives, but it begins with making a decision to give him your life. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. But I believe there's another set of people too who you feel like, you think, or you know that you look like you have it all together on the outside. But on the inside, you know that there's something that's off. And maybe nobody else knows that, and that's okay. Because today is your chance to start changing that. So listen, if that's you, I'm going to ask you just to pray this really simple prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in it. It's really easy. You don't even have to say it out loud because God knows your thoughts and he knows your heart and he knows your desires. So I'm going to ask everyone in the room if you would do me a favor and bow your heads and close your eyes just to block out distractions and just to give those who need this specific moment with God, this moment with God. Pray this with me if that's you. Jesus, I want to belong to you. I know I have been living my life according to my own desires. Thank you for your death on the cross and that I can nail my desires to your cross. From today forward, I give you my life. Change my desires. Grow your fruit in my life. Help me learn to be like you. Amen. Now listen, if that's you, if you prayed that prayer today, we want to help you and we want to celebrate you today. So do me a favor and be really brave. If you prayed that prayer today and if you're here in the room, do us a favor and just stand up right where you're at. Just stand up so we can see you and so we can celebrate you today. Just stand up right now. Thank you. Somebody broke the ice. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. If you are online, give a shout out in the chat. I prayed that prayer today so that your online family can celebrate you as well. Now do me a favor, stay standing because we're going to get one of our leaders with you. They're going to come to you and they're going to just get some real quick information from you. They're going to get your name so that we can be praying for you. And they're going to ask you for your phone number so that I can send you one follow-up text message this week, okay? One follow-up text message just to say congratulations and to give you some next steps. And they're also going to give you a card with some next steps to take. Online, we're going to get connected with you in a private prayer chat. Click that prayer button so one of our host team members can connect with you. So leaders, please, even if this isn't your service to serve, look around. We got people that need somebody to come to them, get that information from them. The ushers, Pastor Eddie, are going to be moving around with cards to get their info. Go ahead and look around, leaders. I see you, leaders, and you're not looking around. Leaders, this is your job right now. Look around. Find somebody that needs you to come alongside them. Thank you. Stand up. Come on. Don't make me say names. I will. Thank you. As they are making their way to people, if you need to raise your hand so somebody can see you so it's a little easier to see you until we get everybody covered. There's somebody seated here with a hand raised. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And make sure we get those cards. So we just need name and phone number. And listen, if you would like to, that leader who goes to talk to you will also pray for you. So feel free to ask them for prayer. They would be happy to pray for you. Now, I want to go back around to the sinful nature stuff that we talked about, because I know for some of you, this is a deep, deep, deep thing. And you feel like there is no way that you can get free from it, especially if it's something secret in your life. Well, listen, that's not true. I believe God wants to set you free from whatever that is today. So I encourage you to come and talk to one of our ministry team members, to click the live prayer button online so that we can pray with you. Ministry team, could I have you guys go ahead and come make your way to the front? And we may need some extra leaders to help with ministry time. So if you're a small group leader, and just kind of keep an eye out to see if we need some extra help, because we've got people scattered about right now, okay? So go ahead, ministry team, make your way to the front. Online team, get ready. If you've got something in your life, when we dismiss the service in just a minute here, come up and talk to one of them. Share with them what's going on in your life. Share with them what you feel you cannot break free from, because I believe God wants to come alongside you today, and the power of the Holy Spirit wants to come into your life and to begin to break that out of your life, okay? So please, please, please do not leave this place without getting prayed for. Do not sign off without getting prayed for. Could I ask everyone now, if you are able, to please stand? I want to pray a blessing over you before we dismiss the service. Father God, we thank you for all that you're up to. We thank you for lives that are being transformed right now as we speak. God, we bless you for that. That is awesome. You are so good. Father, I pray for an increase of the fruit of the Spirit in all of our lives today. And I pray specifically for each of those fruits that each person wrote down today, that you would meet them there beginning right now, and grow that fruit, cultivate that fruit in their lives. And Holy Spirit, we ask for your power to break through.
We ask for you to break free the power of sin in people's lives as they need it. Heal them. Restore them. And Father, I pray your blessings over everyone gathered together today in the room, online. We thank you. We thank you and we bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.